Alison Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope, writing as Caroline Harvey. Dramatised in three parts by Eric Pringle, with Rebecca Egan, Charles Simpson and Nicholas Leprevost. Part 2.
These cabins are so small, undivided only by canvas partitions. Such crowded homes for a 6 months' voyage. Is my cabin one of these?
Long here, miss.
Heavens! Look at all the trunks. And the writing cases and books and fishing rods and cases of wine. Oh, and the servants. Oh, if only I had a servant with me. Someone. Anyone.
A servant girl would be quite superfluous, Caroline. Johnny will provide you with dozens. You'll have such an entourage in Calcutta that for a parson's daughter, you'll think yourself a queen.
Cabin, miss.
But this is enormous. It cannot be mine.
You, Miss Arden?
Well, yes, I am, but...
Port poop cabin, then, Miss Arden.
Why, yes. Here is my trunk. And my writing case from the parsonage. Oh, it's lovely. Here. Thank you.
Thank ye. Safe voyage, Miss Arden.
And to you, sailor. It's a palace. And so light with that great window. Oh, delightful. Oh, look at the pretty bureau. Why, it's mine. Lord Lennox has been as good as his word.
I hope you'll accept a small wedding gift from me, Caroline. I'll have it delivered to the Seahorse in good time for your voyage. Lady Lennox has reserved a nice cabin for you.
Good cabins are much sought after, and I'm sure are usually occupied by persons of consequence, Caroline. However, I wish you to arrive in good health for your marriage.
Hello? Seahorse, the most romantic sight you ever saw? Those great masts and all the guns along the bulwarks? And to think it will be our home for half a year, and that before nightfall we'll be slipping away from England.
I'm sorry, I don't
believe look so startled. I know exactly who you are. I also know you have no maid, so I've come to offer you mine. She's an idle madam and needs to be occupied.
That is very kind, but I really couldn't...
Don't be a goose and refuse me, Miss Harding. No one wants to unpack their trunks when someone else can perfectly well do it for them. And I'm not kind. I'm selfish. Because I want a friend exceedingly for the voyage. And I'm sure you'll be she. Now, where are your rugs and pictures?
Well, I left them behind. I tried to leave as much as possible behind.
I understand you perfectly. I'll lend you some of mine. Miss Harding, my name is Isabel Grant. Please, call me Isabel so I may call you Caroline. Aren't we lucky to be in a ship so thoroughly modern? This is only her second voyage, and ours are meant to be the most comfortable cabins in all the East Indiamen. I refuse to sail at all unless I was comfortable, and I'm glad Lady Lennox felt you needed cherishing, too.
You know Lady Lennox?
My cousin Frank married Georgiana Lennox last spring.
Lord Lovell.
He told me you'd be on this ship. I've learnt a lot about you already. I know you're the daughter of the Stoke Abbas parson, who is recently dead, which is very sad. And that you're bound for India to marry a childhood beau, which is more than I can say for myself. And that you are wonderfully kind to the poor. Now, Caroline, I can see I am quite right, because you are as pink as a rose. I don't know if you're aware of it, but your eyes are very pretty when you smile.
Thank you. Now, tell me about you.
Oh, delightedly. There is no subject I'm fonder of. I'm spoiled and bored and being sent to stay with another cousin in Calcutta before I'm clapped into marriage irons for the rest of my life. He's a very important man in Calcutta, but much older than me, and I'm afraid he'll be cross and disagreeable like his mother and sister. So, since I'm easily bored and cannot bear to be chided, you see how I need a friend.
I should dearly like to be your friend, Isabel. But I'm afraid you'll find me very dull.
Let me look at you. I don't think so, Caroline Harding. I don't think so at all.
I'm so sorry, Isabel.
Why? You can't imagine how much good it does me to be of use to you. I've never been so useful before in my life. And I'm grateful to be safely here with you, because you can't imagine how disagreeable the rest of the ship is. Everyone but me is ill. Fatima wished to be ill too, but I would not permit it. Oh, Caroline, feel how balmy the evening air is. And look, they've hung coloured lanterns in the rigging. How romantic. Now, doesn't that make you feel completely better?
It does. Thank heaven.
Thank me. I shall take all the credit for your progress, because I really believe that without me, you'd have died. Oh, now, if you don't mind, I'll exact some repayment. Here comes General North, the heaviest gallant in the world. He's been plaguing me these last 3 days. You shall take him off my hands.
Isabel, I couldn't. I get so tongue-tied.
My dear Miss Grant, I'd hoped to find you here.
Good evening, General. What pretty medals you're sporting. Caroline, may I present General North to you? General, Miss Harding.
Enchantée, Miss Harding. Any friend?
She is not any friend, General. She is my most particular friend, whom I have snatched from the jaws of death.
It's true, General. I never thought it possible to feel so ill.
Ah, this must be your first sea voyage. When you've gone back and forth to India as regularly as I've done, you'll feel nothing.
Caroline is not going back and forth. She is going to be married in Calcutta.
Are you now?
It's all yours, Caroline.
Do you know Calcutta well, General?
I do, though I often wish I didn't.
Why? Is it so disagreeable?
Pretty much so. It's hot, you know, humid. And society there is very raffish. No standards, no propriety. But I dare say you won't notice in your newly wedded bliss. Now, I wonder, are you acquainted with Sir Edward Ashton, Miss Harding?
I'm afraid not.
Pity. Fine fellow. He's Miss Grant's cousin, and one of the half-dozen most distinguished men in Calcutta. He's a member of the council, and a very close friend of the Governor-General.
The council?
Oh, don't you know anything of India?
Nothing at all. And I have no connections there. I'm sailing into the unknown. Would you instruct me a little about Calcutta and the East India Company?
I will. Something tells me you'll be an apt pupil. Miss Harding, may I escort you to supper? It must be nearly time. This will be your first meal, will it not?
Deck, Caroline. We've sighted Africa, and the captain has set a lookout for pirates.
Oh, the whole ship smells, and some of the sailors are falling sick.
We are approaching the equator, Miss Harding. How would you like to keep a map of the southern night sky?
Oh, I would, General. I love it. Isn't it amazing the difference a cloudless climate makes to the constellations?
Caroline, why will you not embroider with me like any other civilized girl? All those strange hieroglyphics may gain the admiration of the general and the captain and the doctor, and give you a little retinue on the poop deck every night to stare at the heavens. But believe me, you are making the ladies very jealous.
Nobody's ever jealous of me. Don't tease.
I never tease those I love best. Never. I'll tell you something else that makes those disappointed spinsters green with envy. They're all part of the fishing fleet, whereas you, the promised bride of Mr. Gates, are not.
The fishing fleet?
Guess what they're fishing for?
Husbands?
Of course. The whole of Calcutta is full of eligible husbands. My cousin Ashton and your Mr. Gates among them.
Mighty, my head.
Oh, what's the matter, my curly head, Johnny?
Mrs. Rathbone.
You can call me Bella.
Bella? Good God, where am I?
In my my bed, of course.
Oh, how did I get...
I found you sprawled on a staircase out to the world. Your wig was off and you looked rather sweet with your curls. So I called my servants and brought you here.
You shouldn't
now
have...
don't be a naughty Johnny. Mr. Rathbone is the most unobservant husband on earth, and all Calcutta knows me as the officer's comforter. Oh, I have made many good friends among those I've comforted. And now I hope to count you as another. Especially since you burst into tears on my bosom because the jaws of matrimony are about to close on you.
Did I do that? Bella, isn't it terrible?
Oh, silly boy, come here. There. Now, isn't that nice? Marriage will make you comfortable. And if she's a sweet girl, she won't mind your visiting old friends once in a while. Will she?
Well, what am I to do with her?
As if you needed telling. Besides, I'll help you. She shall stop with me until your wedding day. I'll befriend her.
Would you, Bella? Mm. That will get me out of a devilish hole. I can see her among all your frills and fancies. She'll be a cob nut in a dish of Turkish delight.
Oh, you can be the same any minute now. Aren't you going to thank me, Johnny boy?
I thank you, Bella. Indeed, I do.
Not like that. You know how I like a man to thank me, Johnny boy, don't you?
Of course. Oh, Bella.
Man that is born of a woman hath but a short time to live, and is full of misery. He cometh up, and is cut down like a flower. He fleeth as it were a shadow, and never continueth in one stay. In the midst of life, we are in death.
Isn't it dreadful?
O holy and merciful Saviour,
how many more
thou most worthy Judge Eternal, suffer us not at our last hour for any pains of death to fall from thee.
Sewn into their
for as much as it hath
they don't even look like human
God
beings anymore.
Mercy, to take unto himself the souls of our dear brothers here departed.
Helmsman! Wake up! Steady as she goes!
We therefore commit their bodies to the deep, to be turned into corruption, looking for the resurrection of the body, when the sea shall give up her dead.
It's so heartless. They've vanished as if they'd never been. Do you suppose anyone will know they died? Do you think anybody cares?
You could say the same thing about me. Yet.
Oh, we've made India. The pilot has moored us in the mouth of the Hooghly River, well away from the banks, in case tigers should leap aboard. What do you think of that?
I think I'd be less afraid of a tiger.
Than what? Caroline, are you afraid of marrying Mr. Gates?
Yes, I am.
I knew something was wrong because you've had a look of dread on your face for weeks. But you've known him since childhood. He's the only man you've ever loved. Isn't that the most romantic situation you can imagine?
I've begun to think I hardly knew him. I can remember so little that what happened between us now seems more like a story I read in a book than something that really happened. I remember what I felt about him, that he looked handsome in his magnificent clothes, and how exciting his daredevilry and teasing seemed. But so much has happened to me since that those things don't seem important anymore. Oh, Isabel, I haven't seen him for 9 years. Suppose when I get there tomorrow, he...
What were you thinking about when I came in?
I was thinking of running home.
Back to Demon Lady Lennox and Dragon Eleanor?
I couldn't, could I? I've run away from home. And now there's nowhere for me to go. Oh, this whole enterprise is madness.
Why Why are you so pessimistic? Why shouldn't Mr. Gates prove everything you want him to be? And if he isn't, well, don't marry him. Whatever was that? Could be a jackal. Frank Lovell told me India is full of strange sights and noises that are terrifying until you get used to them. You haven't answered my question. Why can't you simply refuse to marry Mr. Gates?
Because I don't have a choice. That's what frightens me. Let me explain. You're young, beautiful, independent. Those things make your security.
I suppose so.
But I'm none of those things. Oh. If I were a person of independent means, I wouldn't have to be handed from one household to another like a piece of furniture. I wouldn't have to jump from the support of a brother to the arms of a man I hardly know.
Surely it isn't really like that.
It is. Why, in the eyes of the world, I'm lucky to be given even this chance. If I don't take it, if I don't marry, I might as well not exist. There's nothing else on earth for me to do.
Yes, there is. You shall live with me.
Oh, no, no, Isabel. Thank you,
but... Wouldn't you like to live with me?
I should love it above all things, but not as an object of charity.
If you're an object of charity to me, which you aren't, why aren't you the same to Mr. Gates?
It will be different as a wife. You see, I'm only content when I have a purpose. And as a wife, I'll have a role to play. I can make my husband's life comfortable, run his home, see to his wants, and so feel that in some way I'm repaying being kept by him.
You do realize, don't you, that an unhappy marriage is not an occupation. It's a terrible affliction, and I won't allow the martyr in you to have its way. And I fail to see the difference between doing all that for Mr. Gates and doing it for me, especially when he might not want you, and I most certainly do. So bother your stiff-necked pride.
Oh, Isabel, don't you understand me a little?
I might, but I don't want to. I want to help make you happy. And I will. You'll see. Good night, my dear friend. I promise you shan't marry Mr. Gates if I don't think he's good enough for you.
Well, Parson Harding's daughter, there is India waiting for you. Tomorrow you'll set foot on it and meet your bridegroom, and your life will be changed forever.
Oh, my head, my head. God almighty, what time is it? Ahmed, Ranjit, come here, you insolent dogs.
Sir!
You jackals, I ordered you to wake me early, didn't I? It's late.
I'm late. Oh, great God, what's the matter with you? Move!
I want clean linen, white breeches, my blue flag coat, my new wig, cane, and champagne. Give me some champagne.
Sir, there is no clean linen.
No excuses. Bring it now. Fetch my horse and give me to Mrs. Rathbone's at the double. Oh, the tenders from the Seahorse start unloading passengers at noon, and there's no way I'm going to make it. Oh, my head. Champagne now!
Here we go, Caroline. Isn't it exciting? Oh, you can smell India. Oh, look at those hordes waiting for us. And this heat. And look at the bustle on the quay and those cows mooning about. And listen, do you hear that? It's like a circus. Heavens! Do you see that procession of immaculate servants and that magnificent white man? Goodness, it looks like... it can't be.
And that is your cousin, Miss Grant, Sir Edward Ashton.
Edward! Sir Edward! Caroline, we've arrived. But where is Mr. Gates?
Where indeed?
Delightful, Johnny. Oh, look, I'm sure that's Mrs. Russell waving from her carriage.
Can't we go faster? The boats must have landed an hour ago. Oh, Lord, Bella, this is the last free ride I'll ever take. From now on, I'll have to account for every move.
Not every move, I hope, you naughty boy.
She'll put my life into a straitjacket.
Well, kiss me before she does.
General North, please don't wait any longer. All the men have been commandeered by their officers, and Sir Edward has swept Isabel away. You must need to get away yourself.
My dear Miss Harding, I couldn't possibly abandon you to this rabble. If Mr. Gates doesn't arrive soon, I'll take you to some friends of mine. What the devil can the man be thinking of?
Here's the waterfront at last. Stop the carriage. Stop! Oh, God, look at it. It's teeming with Indians, passengers, soldiers. There's baggage and cargo all over the place.
Silly boy, what else did you expect?
How will I find her?
What does she look like?
I don't remember. Wait here, Bella, where you're safe. I'd hate you to be injured after all your kindness to me.
Oh, I'll be kind to you again, Johnny, never fear.
Every other passenger has gone, Miss Harding. I think we should make a move. Oh. What is it, my dear?
General, I think that gentleman over there...
Miss Harding.
Mr. Gates?
What? Mr. Gates? This is Mr. Gates?
I'm sorry I'm late. I have a carriage.
Where is the carriage, Mr. Gates?
What, for This way.
This is a very strange how do you do, Miss Harding.
Cooey! General! Remember me!
Good God, it's Bella Rattle. My dear, you cannot go with such people.
Have no fear, General. Miss Harding will come to no harm. I shall personally see that she don't. She shall stop with me until her wedding day, and I'll be like a mother to her.
I can't allow it.
General, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your kindness, but I must go. I'm very much obliged to you, madam. It's so kind of you to offer.
Oh, nonsense, my dear. I'll enjoy it. Well, so will you, I hope. Now, up you get. No, let the servants help you. Never do anything for yourself in Calcutta. That's the way. Now, we can get busy being friends, can't we?
Madam, do you still live in Garden Reach?
Indeed I do, General, and I shall be ever so pleased to have you call on me.
I inquired because I wished to have your permission to call upon Miss Harding. There are friends who will be anxious for news of her.
Call when you like, General dear, and if you take us by surprise, well, then it may be your lucky day, may it not? Miss Harding, I can tell you everything you need to know about dressing in Calcutta, and almost everything you need to know about the private lives and wickedness of its residents. Except one. Hey, Johnny? Naughty boy. Yeah.
There sits my fate. I hardly recognize him. I daren't look at him. And he won't look at me.
She's a stick. A dry, yellow stick. How can I introduce that to my friends? The dress is hideous, the collash is a disgrace, and that nose. Oh, Rani, Rani.
All right, she's ungainly. But she has brilliant silver eyes and a sweet mouth. And something could be made of her, I'm sure. What she needs is looking after. I'll do that, all right. Here we are, dear. Come on in. Home, sweet home. I hope you'll regard it as your home, too.
Why? It's just like an English house, lifted up and deposited in Calcutta.
Except for the odour, my dear. Don't you smell it? That curious, sour, sweet, spicy, dusty, exciting human smell? Oh, that's India. And the trees outside are nothing like English trees. And even though we screen the windows and doors with damp grasses, it's still breathlessly hot. But even so, the house is elegant, isn't it? I like bright colours and gold paint and looking glasses and frills. Well, these things make a home, don't you agree? Mm. Johnny loves it. He's always here. He feels at home, right, Johnny?
Absolutely.
I really don't know what's the matter with the naughty boy today. Now, Miss Harding, dear, I'll have you shown to your room and then we shall all meet again for dinner this afternoon.
God, must we?
Perhaps we need not.
Hmm?
I'm sure Mr. Gates has a prior arrangement, Mrs. Rathbone. You were telling me in the carriage that Calcutta is very sociable.
Oh, no. Johnny, can you think of dining anywhere else on the day your sweetheart comes to you?
Miss Harding is, in a sense, right. I haven't been at the office all morning. I'm behind in my affairs. I beg you to excuse me.
You're a monstrous, unmannerly boy. You don't deserve this sweet creature.
Mrs. Rathbone, let him go. I think no ill of it. And I'm confused enough by my travels.
Oh, tomorrow, then, Johnny.
Tomorrow, ma'am.
You'll have to be very sprightly to make up for your behaviour today. Now, bid farewell nicely to Miss Harding.
Until tomorrow, Miss Harding.
Good day, Mr. Gates.
But Mensah, we must be doing these things. We must be dressing you, undressing your hair, and be manicuring your nails.
But I've never had...
We are here to serve you. If we are not serving you, what are we to do?
All right. But I will not have my hair powdered. Will not.
Caroline, my dear! Calm down, so everybody may see my new little English friend. Here she is.
Mrs. Rathbone, please.
And where is naughty Johnny, who is to be the lucky man? Come here, you bad boy. Now, don't hide. We want to see you both together.
I hope you're comfortable here.
I am. It was good of Mrs. Rathbone to shelter me.
General North called at my office this morning.
That was kind of him.
He gave me this note for you. I hope it's got crumpled.
It's from Isabel.
Ladies and gentlemen, the dinner is served.
Oh, well.
Come on.
Good heavens. Those enormous baskets of fruit. Oh, the wine glasses. How many courses?
Seven, usually.
Seven? And a different wine with each?
Naturally. Allow me.
Thank you.
Champagne here.
Here, Sahib.
Another.
Heavens. We're having soup.
Miss Harding, I believe. No, pray don't rise, ma'am. I'm unforgivably late. My name's George Carew.
Oh, my God. George, what are you doing here?
I'm delighted to meet you, Mr. Carew. I believe you're a great friend.
Of the abominable animals, indeed I am, ma'am. Oh, confounded hot, ain't it?
So why do we eat hot soup?
Just if I know. Johnny, you pick yourself a sensible woman here.
Am I?
What else don't you care for, Miss Harding?
Being made mock of, Mr. Carew.
Corporate-handed, humble apologies.
Are you also a company man?
For my sins, ma'am. How do you like Calcutta?
More wine here, more wine.
I've not seen it yet. Oh. I only arrived yesterday, and I've been asleep or surrounded by servants ever since.
I won't change. That's Calcutta. Servants sleep and drink. Lots of drink. A drink with me, Miss Harding?
No, thank you, Mr. Carew. Oh. I want to keep a clear head until I know more about you all.
Oh, lovely.
Put you away. I wish. Oh, dear. I wish to propose a toast of long life and happiness to my young friends, Miss Caroline Harding and naughty Johnny Gates.
Caroline Harding and Johnny Gates.
Stand and say thank you, Miss Harding. They expect it, indeed they do.
Must I?
Upon my word, you must. You too, Johnny.
I thank you. Thank you all.
On your neck, Mr. Gates. Your turn.
Come on,
Johnny. Come on, up you get.
Oh,
I can't stand. Drink them. To Mrs. Rathbun.
Now to your lady. Come on, Mr. Gates, you can do it.
Now what?
What will she do?
Shh, wait. Would two gentlemen be good enough to move Mr. Gates to somewhere more comfortable?
Bravo.
Oh, Miss Harding. My poor Caroline. Forgive me, dear.
There's nothing to forgive, Mrs. Rathbone. You're hardly to blame. Mr. Carew, would you escort Mr. Gates home, since he clearly cannot take himself? And will you tell him I shall call upon him at noon tomorrow, so that we may talk in privacy? If I may borrow your carriage, Mrs. Rathbone?
With the greatest pleasure in the world, my dear.
But you're a woman of spirit, Miss Harding. I hand it to you. I'll take him home, and he'll await you at noon if I have to lash him to his chair.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd like to be alone.
Of course, my dear.
Dearest Caroline, I'm quite desolate without you, and my desolation is made worse by anxiety.
I have heard gossip which I do not like at all. They say your John Gates is a depraved and licentious man, and they make fun of his style of dress. He is obviously a man grossly unworthy of you, so I beg you not to let your silly pride lead you into something rash. I'm staying in a most stiff and proper house, and both the General and Sir Edward absolutely forbid me to visit you where you are, but I'm in a ferment to see you. Why don't you come to me? I beg you to. Sir Edward would welcome you.
Oh, Isabel, I long to see you, but I must see Mr. Gates first. Dearest Isabel, I am being taken care of, so please don't worry about me. Tomorrow I am to visit Mr. Gates at his home, which I understand is in a quite different part of Calcutta.
Oh, Miss Hardy, good day to you.
And to you, Mr. Carew.
Come in, ma'am, come in. He's waiting for you. I've worked hard on him. He's cleaned up and sober and longing to see you. Indeed he is.
Really? I am grateful to you.
Oh, come in, come in. Here's the rogue. Good as my word.
Good day to you, Miss Holly.
I'll leave you together. I'll not be far off if you want me. Brighten up, Johnny boy.
I hope you don't think me impertinent, but I can't speak to you in darkness. Might a screen be moved?
It's deuced hot. It's far too hot to...
Please.
Ranjit.
Yes, sir.
Screen down. Move.
Sorry, sir.
I see why you wish to keep the room dark. You are in some confusion.
Am I? Anything else?
Just one more thing. Would you do me the favour of removing your wig? It changes your look so much, I feel I'm talking to a stranger.
Damn it! Do I please you better now, ma'am?
Infinitely. Thank you. I remembered your curls.
And I remember a docile creature, not a jailer.
Jailer?
Have you no sensitivity?
Sensitivity is a luxury I can't afford. Mr. Gates, we are in a fix, are we not? If I'd believed what you wrote in this letter to Lady Lennox, I should have been broken-hearted at your reception of me.
That was written some time ago.
But it was written by you. I asked to see you today because I must discover the truth. I might not have believed this letter, but I didn't disbelieve that you still had some desire to marry me. You shun me, yet I arrive here and find I arouse in you complete revulsion. You shun me and can hardly bear to look at me. So I must conclude that there was something else behind your offer of marriage.
Is this necessary?
I believe it is. You must try to imagine my situation. I have no one to turn to. I came to India because I had nowhere else to go and
because I hoped I was wanted here. I see I was mistaken. But I'm now in a predicament. You may not want me. But since I came here, at your instruction, I think you must help me in what I'm to do next.
Have you any money?
None.
Money? Money is behind everything. If you have no money, you're in the same case as I.
I thought you were employed by the East India Company.
A dog couldn't live on my salary.
Perhaps I might help you live on it?
You want to know what's behind this? Money. I have little enough now. But if I don't marry you, I shall have no future and will live like a jackal on £200 a year till I die.
I don't understand. Why should that be?
Consider whose relation I am. Think. To whose tune I must dance.
Lady Lennox.
Lady Lennox.
But how dare she? Explain to me.
She has contrived that the fortune that is to come to me, Lennox money brought to my father by my mother, will not be mine unless I marry. She doesn't like the way I live and wishes me to be curbed by marriage and its responsibilities.
But why should I come into this?
Because you're sober living and used to poverty
and plain and thin. And she thinks unlikely to bear rival children to her own brood. So, I'm a pawn in a sordid little game played by Lady Lennox. Well, her plans have worked wonderfully. Almost. We can still obstruct her. If we don't marry, she won't win.
If we don't marry, I'm destitute.
I'd forgotten that.
I hadn't. I never do.
Tell me. When you asked me to marry you all those years ago, did you mean it then?
I can't remember. My aunt and your father were so pressing.
Don't say any more.
You asked me.
Now I wish I had not. Mr. Gates, it seems to me that we need each other. You need me to secure your fortune, and I need you to keep me from destitution.
I thought you had great friends here. Wouldn't they help you?
I don't choose to ask them.
You're very stiff.
Maybe so. But I'm also tired of being an object of charity. If I was your wife, I'd have status and an occupation. I'd cost you very little, as I'm sure you've calculated already. And in return, I'd make sure you were comfortable.
Really?
Really. I'd tidy those servants and clean up this pigsty. I'd see that your linen and food were as you liked them.
That doesn't sound so bad. Shall we strike a bargain?
A bargain? Yes, Mr. Gates. A bargain is all it can be.
Shake hands on it?
Very well.
What freedoms will you allow me?
Freedoms? At this point, any you care for. Except one.
Which is?
My bed. I don't want you in my bed.
Good God!
Be honest with yourself. I'm only denying you something you don't want anyway. Now, would you call Mr. Carew?
I say, Miss Grant, may I book one more dance with you?
You may not, Harry, because you are drunk.
What?
And because my card is entirely full.
Then tomorrow night, I beg the pleasure.
Quite impossible. My card is complete for every night this month. However, you may talk to my splendid cousin, Sir Edward Ashton, instead.
Uh-huh.
Here he is now.
Oh, no, I don't think I really must be young. There you are at last, Isabel. Don't you ever sit out a dance?
I'm not allowed. Do you know, Edward, I've worn out 3 pairs of satin dancing slippers since I arrived.
Because you're the toast of Calcutta. No one a quarter so pretty has stepped ashore in 5 years. And there's none to match your spirit either. Will you stay with me for a moment?
By all means. But I warn you, I shall exhibit you shamelessly to all my friends.
I'll take a chance. You know, I was dreading you coming here to disrupt the quiet pattern of my life, but you've brought colour and light.
Which you needed desperately. So far as I can see, you were living the life of a monk. There's someone else who could bring colour and light.
No, Isabel.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I'd have to be pretty dim not to. You pest me about the woman every other day, and the answer is still the same and always will be.
Then why may I not call upon her?
Because I am reliably informed...
By stuffy General North.
...that neither Mr. Gates nor Mrs. Rathbone are the sort of people with whom you should have any sort of association.
I don't want to associate with them. I don't care a pin for them. I want to see Caroline, who is the dearest person imaginable.
I'm sure she is. In your eyes, but in society's eyes, she's damned
by the
company.
I don't care about society.
Society may be an ass, Isabel. I often think it is. But as your guardian here, I can't flout it. So long as your friend remains where she is, you must remain where you are. Wearing out slippers and dancing partners by the dozen. And my patience.
Yes, Lurker. Come in.
The Memsahib is wanting me?
She is. She has a good deal to ask you.
I will be giving any answers to
I don't want any answers. I want the truth.
Memsahib?
In the 2 weeks Mr. Gates and I have been married, I have tried to make his home life more comfortable. Mm. Unfortunately, I have had to do most of it myself, even washing his linen, despite the fact that the house is crawling with servants. Oh,
but it is not being seemly for the Memsahib to be dirtying her hands so.
Indeed it is not. Hence this meeting, Sirka.
I am not understanding.
Mr. Gates tells me you are in charge of household affairs, the servants and domestic finances.
Oh, that is indeed being so. And if Memsahib permits, I will be sending servants to do the work that she may rest as is proper.
Where are you going? Come back here.
Memsahib.
I would rest if I thought any work would be done, but I do not. Why is every corner of the house so filthy? Why do I have to turn away breakfast each morning because the milk is sour and the butter rancid oil? Why is no laundry done? Why is the house cluttered with servants who do nothing but loll in the shade, picking their teeth all day? Why have furniture and pictures been sent away for repair and never returned? And why is the garden a wilderness?
There have been many reasons. The Memsahib is not knowing. Otherwise she would not say these unjust things.
Unjust? You have been guilty of the grossest negligence, Sirka. You're entrusted with money to run the household, but the household receives no benefit from it. So, I wonder where the money has gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What do? Oh, God, save me.
Well?
Always there is so much to be paying for. And Sahib Gibbs is not giving me enough.
I don't believe you. I think you're a rogue and a liar. Get up off your knees.
You are angry with me, Memsahib. Mm. But if you're sending me away, what am I and my children to be doing?
I shall not dismiss you.
Memsahib?
I shall simply make you responsible to me in everything you do. You will hire and dismiss no one without reference to me. Food will be ordered by my consent, and the money you used must be checked before and after any purchase. Everyone will be given duties and will be expected to perform them scrupulously. An inventory will be made of everything in the house, and missing items will be instantly reported. Do I make myself clear?
I am without speeches.
In return, I'll do what I can for you. If any servant is in trouble, and it's a trouble I know something of, I'll help. If any servant is sick, I'll try to make them comfortable.
Memsahib...
You obviously think the very idea of a white lady being useful is laughable. Mm. Well, we shall see. Now, for the last time, get up off your knees. Come on.
Memsahib.
And let us begin.
Paka.
This is better. Mutton's edible. House is clean and I'm staying in to keep you company till you get used to India. Bargain, eh?
I'm grateful.
I hope you are. I haven't stayed in for years.
I don't like having to ask you.
Then don't.
But it isn't possible to run the household without money.
Oh, don't worry about it. That's the circus affair. When we're in straits, he has a cousin at the bazaar who's a moneylender. Leave it to him.
I can't. The Sirka has been pocketing the money himself.
Damn you.
I'm trying to improve
things. You're an interfering woman.
And what's the matter with this house before you came into it?
Everything.
Rubbish. Ran like clockwork. Suits me very well, thank you.
Did it? The dirt suited you, and the filthy clothing and rotten food.
You're trying to make me look a fool, damnation on you.
If you tell me how much I can spend on running the house and paying the servants...
I don't know how much. Anyway, I've no money to give you, I told you.
Then what are we to live on?
Ask the shirker. My money comes and goes. I make a little here and there, but I never know when.
May I ask how much is the house?
£200 a year. Robbery. Who'd live in this part of Calcutta unless they were condemned to? And I've just spent £40 on you, the price of matrimony. £40!
If your salary is only £250 a year, it seems destitution is as close to me married as it was when I was single. If I were to dismiss some of the servants...
Don't you dare! Are you mad? I need everyone to maintain my position.
But I don't know the answer. I have nothing to sell. If I had, I would.
There's a way. Don't worry. I'll have money for you by the morning. But I must go out this evening. It'll make a change for me.
How can you do it?
Mum's the word. Ask no questions.
Is it something wicked?
Profoundly to a parson's daughter, but nothing to a man of the world like me. I'll see you at breakfast.
Won't you be in for supper?
Back to your whitewashing, parson's daughter. And see, I've cleaned linen for this evening.
Until breakfast.
Leave me alone, you filthy... Get to it, you...
Mem, sir.
Give me something to drink.
What on earth is the matter with Mr. Getz?
Mem, sir, it is not seemly for you to see...
No, you pigs, you blasted pigs.
Now I understand. So much for saving our situation, Mr. Gates. Undress him, Ranjit, would you? And wash him and put him into a clean nightshirt. I'll return shortly and see that he's comfortable.
Mem, sir, we are being used to this.
I'm sure you are, and I'm sorry for it.
Come along, sir. Come
on. Well, Mrs. Gates, it seems you're going to have to sort things out by yourself.
But the Memsahib cannot be visiting the bazaar herself. It has never been done.
Don't be absurd, Sirka. If I don't come to the money lender, how can I understand what I'm doing?
Everyone is laughing at me. Here is my cousin, Memsahib.
How do you do?
ये क्या हो रहा है? कौन है?
मत पूछ यार. ये हमारी मालकिन है. पागल औरत है. इसको उधार चाहिए कहती है खुद सौदा करेगी.
तुम ढीले हो रहे हो.
सुन, मेरे को दो दाम चाहिए. एक तेरा और एक मेरे हिस्से वाला, जो मैं इसको बताऊंगा. मेरी बेइज्जती का मोल इसको देना पड़ेगा. क्या कहता है?
10 taka.
Well, Sirka?
Oh, my cousin will be helping you, ma'am.
Good. I need to borrow 100 pounds.
He will charge 15%.
15? That's far too much.
But, Mem Sahib, it is being the usual.
Too much.
Nikhilaji.
Main 1 taka kam karta hun.
My cousin will be giving you the present. 14%.
Still too much.
But,
Tell him.
Nahi manti.
Ye badi kanjus hai. 8.
13%, Mem Sahib.
No.
Oh, for teri to... Inkar kar liye.
Hey, Bhagwan, Ram, Ram, Ram. Hey, Ram. 7 taka. Or kuch nahi.
12, Mem Sahib, and he's going no lower.
Then you may tell him that I will do my business elsewhere. Let us go, sir.
Mem Sahib, you cannot go. No, you cannot. You see, he will be lending you £100 at 11%. 10, 9, 8, 8. And I will be making nothing on this deal at all.
I'm sure the novelty will be an education to you. I've sent for you all because I have discovered that over 100 persons live in the servants' quarters of this house. That is far too many. I hate to send any away, but I simply cannot support you all. So,
from now on, all wages will be reduced by a third. Any who are dissatisfied are free to go. I will give you references. If you wish to go, please leave the room now. I see the circle is one of those who have left us, and that I now appear to be left with 18 servants and their dependents. That's better. Will you please work for 2 more weeks? Then I will pay you for the month you've worked since my arrival. Thank you. And now I wish to inspect your quarters. I want to see how you live and discover if there's any way your conditions might be improved.
What's this, ma'am? What do I hear?
Johnny?
Slice my household in half. Would you dose the servants' children for worms? Who the hell do you think you are?
I was trying to help.
Damn you for an interfering crone. Get up!
I was just doing my best.
Get up! I'm gonna teach you all this.
No, Johnny!
You'll learn who's master here. God almighty. I'm so sick of your prim parsonage ways and your mealy-mouthed prudence. I hate you, you pretty scarecrow!
Johnny, please!
Johnny, please! What? This is for Johnny! And that is for Johnny! And that's for Johnny! And that's for Johnny! And that's for...
Money. You dare ask me for more money, you tight stick?
You haven't given me one penny. And the money I borrowed is running out.
How? How?
I've paid the servants. Reclaimed the furniture and pictures.
What do you want the damn money for?
To pay for what we eat and drink. And for your expenses.
What expenses?
Your tailor, your barbers, your wig, your horses.
Don't meddle, woman. Leave it to the circa.
How can I?
Leave it to the circa.
Are you going to strike me again?
I would if it would make you weep. Tears would be womanly, but there are no tears, are there? You're not a woman. You're a dried-up stick.
How are we to live?
I'll live as I've always done, and you'll keep your word and see I'm comfortable.
I will not beg. I will not beg. What about your side of the bargain?
Bargain? Bargain? It's a man-trap, damn and blast you to hell.
Mr. Gates, I imagine.
Isabel!
Caroline!
Oh, Isabel!
Miss Grant.
You know who I am, Mr. Gates.
Well, your likeness is in all the papers, ma'am. May I say they don't do you justice?
You may not. Let me see you, Caroline. Even worse than I feared. You're dreadfully thin. You look ill. And what is this bruise on your cheek? What have you done, Mr. Gates, to deserve this angel in the smallest degree?
Why, nothing.
I'm glad you admit it. Now, I would like to speak to Mrs. Gates alone, if you please.
I should not wish to intrude, ma'am.
Good. Give me your hand, my dearest friend.
Dear Isabel.
I hoped you would weep in relief at seeing me.
I wish I could, but I cannot weep. Even when Papa died, the emotion locks inside me until I feel I could burst. But how blooming you look. Everywhere I hear of your conquests.
I haven't come to speak of that.
I was afraid not.
Now, what do you mean by throwing yourself away? You promised me. You promised.
Please, Isabel.
I know I've neglected you dreadfully and been giddy and silly and all the things that Sir Edward says I am, but why didn't you come to me and tell me?
Oh, Isabel, don't be absurd. Look how dusty and down at heel I am. What sort of reception would I have had among all those glittering people?
Are you very unhappy?
Not very.
Oh, Caroline. You deserve to be intensely happy, and that brute...
No, Isabel. We won't speak of him. I married because I should have begged otherwise, and he married because he doesn't know how to keep house. That's all.
I don't believe you. Why must you be so proud? Why couldn't you let me help you? I should love to help you.
And I love you for that. But I was born with the wrong spirit for my position.
I only like to receive when I'm sure I'm entitled to receive.
I don't understand you.
I know you think I'm mad. Because with your upbringing, how could you bear to live in this sad little house with no one to amuse you? But it's different for me. I love and respect my household. To be sure, I don't care much for the house. But at least it's my domain, and I have it mostly to myself. And the garden may look like a desert just now, but the Marleys and I have great plans. And soon it will blossom like the Garden of Eden. Oh, Isabel, I've learned so much about India and its people these last weeks that I feel quite a different person from the ignorant woman you knew. And now I intend to learn all about Indian flowers. So you see, none of it is so very tragic. And really, there never was anything else to be done.
With your character, there probably never was. That's what I can't bear.
Tell me, does Sir Edward know where you are?
No, I stole his carriage and ran away. I was so desperate to see you.
Oh, Isabel, I couldn't bear him to be angry with you on my account.
He won't be. He's a kind of angel, too, though not quite as saintly as you are. Now, promise I may see you again soon.
If Sir Edward thinks you may.
I shall insist you're invited.
You mustn't do that.
Don't you want to see me?
Above everything. But we aren't fit for the kind of society you move in.
Nonsense. The time has come to please myself, and what pleases me is your company. Why, every other woman in Calcutta is a dolt compared to you. Do you want to make me miserable?
Of course not.
Then leave everything to me. Oh, Caroline, I have such plans for you. Your life is going to change from this moment forward. You have no idea how much.
Is that a promise or a threat?
Wait and see. Just you wait and see.
The part of Caroline Harding was played by Rebecca Egan. Isabel Grant, Emma Gregory. General North, John Turner. Johnny Gates, Charles Simpson. Bella Rathbone, Jilly Mears. George Carew, Stephen Critchlow. Sir Edward Ashton, Nicholas Leprevo. Lady Lennox, Jennifer Hillary. Lord Lennox, David Collings. The Circa, Durendra. Ranjit, Sam Dastor. Isabel Grant, Emma Gregory. With Becky Hindley, Paul Jenkins, Raj Patel and Joshua Taub. Parson Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope, writing as Caroline Harvey, was dramatised by Eric Pringle and directed by Jane Morgan.